message for today is justified by faith. Sounds very dry and very doctrinal, but it is the most glorious living message of Christ. And in today's text, chapter 2, verse 16, so interesting. I'm going to explain the context, but Paul speaking to Peter in a very awkward situation, fighting, and then he declares the doctrine of justification by faith. I thought that was interesting. It's the most, one of the most dramatic, tense event of the New Testament, and out of that fight and rebuke, the doctrine of justification by faith was clearly stated. God is amazing. Okay, so if you could just look up here, I really ask you to do that. Because I want to speak to you. I really do. Okay, this week I was thinking, you know, I think Ronnie might may be listening and worshiping right now through through you know, live stream, and I visited him at the hospital with Pastor June, and we had an amazing time. Right? We had I really appreciated, enjoyed the time visiting him, and when I visited him, he was okay. Actually, he was ready to be discharged, and this is the man that I met at a fishing boat 2.5 years ago. Met once. But he came to church 2.5 years. We're communicating through text. Long story short, he came, and we're sharing the gospel. And I've never seen a man receiving it with such joy and smile. I was like, could this be real? He was receiving it with a smile. And, you know, we had a wonderful time. And as Pastor June and I were leaving the hospital, you know, the weather was terrible, right? It was getting cold, began to snow, but I was really rejoicing and thinking that there is no human life that is eventless. It is so eventful. I don't know how old he is exactly, maybe in mid-70s, and from just what I heard from him in few meetings that I had, he went through so much. And I think that is the general truth for all human beings. You live this life, and life is just full of events, isn't it? Some unexpected things, some sickness, someone get very... You get heartache because of your children. You have a marital problem. Real thing. Right? And you go to a war. And you're forced to shoot. That's what he was sharing. And you know that's what's happening right now. Right? And there are real people sitting in that city right now. Just like you are real and I'm real. I hope you see me as a real person. There are real persons sitting in that apartment, you know, complexes having 100,000 enemy soldiers surrounding the city. Can you even imagine what that feels like? Can we even try to think what that feels like? You know, no life is eventless. And realizing any moment human life could just end. That's just the way it is, people. For you and me as well. And yet, what do we do with this reality of seeing God at the end of our life? Right? The word justified is straight from the scripture, and it is a forensic judicial term. So you have to think of the court of law. Okay? Say I'm a Justice Paul M. Chung. Okay, you come to the court, and all your life, let's not even do all your life, okay? Your sin and your crime is clearly documented. I have the record, and I have the witnesses, and you are guilty, okay? But I am justice, not Amy Barrett, but, you know, Paul Chung, but I, one reason or another, I declare, you're not guilty. Can you imagine that? That's what justified means. It's the opposite word of condemnation. And Bible says, all of you and me are standing condemned. Okay? So it's a judicial term. It is a forensic word. And you are standing at the court of law. And justice is not justice of United States Supreme Court, but justice God Almighty. And you will stand before him, and I will stand before him. It's very, very clear, right? So it's a very, very important message, and justified by faith, or justification by faith, Martin Luther calls it, this is the chiefest article of all Christian doctrines. In other words, it is the most important, the central message. And then he said, if you know this truth, you are in the clear light. But if you don't, you are in the most miserable darkness. And I agree with him. You are in the most miserable darkness. You may be doing so well at work, and your stock, 401k is like doubling, but you are in the clear, you are in the most miserable darkness. Okay? That's Martin Luther. And this particular verse, 2:16, and the doctrine of justification is the theme of Galatians' gospel. That's it. Romans' gospel. And this is the heart of the gospel and core of the gospel. I would just clearly, simply explain, to believe this is to believe in Jesus and have salvation. Okay, so that as an introduction. I just ask you to listen. Last week we talked about this historic meeting of the apostles in Acts 15. Peter and Paul, they come together. And this is the most important council in history. It's called Jerusalem Council. And what was the issue at hand? And basically the issue at hand was this. Is salvation, which you all, I'm sure, needs to listen to. Is salvation by faith alone? Or is it salvation by faith plus work? And you may be thinking, oh, that doesn't sound very important to me. But let me explain, okay? So that was settled, and it was settled that it is all by grace, faith in Christ alone. Okay, no human works. Okay, no human works. So there at the Jerusalem Council, it was by grace alone, apart from any works, as means of salvation, which includes circumcision, law of Moses, or any work of human being. Anything you do. Okay? So as an outcome, as a result of this council or conference, the validity and the authenticity of Paul's gospel has been attained, and all the other gospel is false gospel. Do you realize if you believe in false gospel, you are in the your most miserable darkness? A lot of people think half gospel will save you. It's not going to save you. You're not in good terms with God. You are not righteous before God. You're not. But I've been going to church for 50 years, but you're not. But I'm an officer of a church, but you're not. Okay? It's not. It doesn't matter what people or you think it is, but the salvation term is he makes the declaration, right? So justification, God the judge, the Almighty God, declares you at the court of law, at the final judgment, in fact, the judgment, and he calls you righteous, not guilty. You're acquitted. Okay, that's what it means, which is an amazing, amazing statement. And that declaration never changes, because that declaration is by the final court, and the basis of that declaration is not you, but it is your faith in Jesus. Okay, so that's very, very important. So outcome of this historic gathering, Paul and Peter were united with a right hand of fellowship, and we declare that there is only one gospel, and gospel of grace, and by faith, and in Christ alone. Okay, we talked about that last week, but today, right after the incident, Paul talks about this tense and dramatic episode in the New Testament. This is really awkward. They fight in front of everybody. Can you imagine? I don't know what the elder you, we have an elder, one elder. Elder you and I come here and we fight in front of you to the face. And the situation is elder you, I hope he's not listening, okay? He's like, to my face, like, to my face, he's saying, you are wrong. Stand, you are just in condemnation. What he means is that you're clearly wrong. But if you think about it, that's so bad, isn't it? When leaders of the church fight in behind the scene, it's very awkward and uncomfortable thing. But can you imagine on Sunday afternoon in front of like you, we are fighting? Can you imagine that? Two church leaders to the face, you're pointing finger and fighting. That'll be very, very awkward. Not only it is awkward, it should not be. For small things, trivial things, we shouldn't do that. The Bible says if there is any clear wrong of an elder, and we should have witnesses and do it privately first. Right? But this, that is not happening. It's not being done privately, but it is done in public, which is to not only to embarrass Peter, but that makes Paul looks, he doesn't look that good either, right? But that's what was happening. So what was happening? What was the issue at hand? So let's take a look at the text. Verse 11, right after Jerusalem Council, now the scene changes to Antioch. Antioch is in Syria, right? Literally Syria. And that's the city, something like New York City. Third largest city in the Roman Empire, multi-ethnic city, and there is that multi-ethnic church, Gentile church, whereas Jerusalem church is the Jewish church, but this is the Gentile church where Paul and Barnabas were co-pastoring. Now, Peter came to Antioch this time. When Peter came to Antioch, Cephas is Peter, I opposed him to the face. Can you picture that? I opposed him to the face. And because he stood condemned, which means he was clearly in wrong, okay? He stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, meaning Jerusalem church. James is the leader of the Jerusalem church. And certain men came to Antioch. Who are they? He was eating with the Gentiles. Peter was having fellowship, eating with Gentiles, which is clearly not following the law, or it's unthinkable thing to do. In first century Jews, for you to walk into a Gentile's house, you became defiled, you become dirty, you become condemned. You are like Gentiles now. You are no longer the people of God. So that's unthinkable thing to do, let alone eat with them. It's a no-no, right? Eating in first Palestinian culture represented very close friendship. Did you realize, you know, when Jesus came, Jesus ate with prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he will get defiled. No, he will purify them, right? That's what happened in the gospel. So that was what was happening. Peter was just enjoying the freedom that we have in Christ, we don't no longer bounded by this slavery, right? You don't have to follow that. We are totally free in Christ. So enjoying that fellowship. But certain men came, and let's see what happened. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself. All of a sudden, do I know you? You know, have you ever experienced that? Sometimes, you know, we know each other and we meet at a restaurant. Some people look at me as looking at air. No, don't see me. That's what Peter was doing. He was afraid, and I think he just kind of shrank back. Right? That's what happened. Fearing the circumcision party. That's the issue that we just resolved in Jerusalem Council. And the rest of the Jews, Jewish Christians, acted hypocritically along with him. So even Barnabas was led astray by his, their hypocrisy. Even Barnabas, his right-hand man, Paul's right-hand man. So response of Peter, response of Paul. That's Peter, starting verse 14. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, it was no trivial matter. It was the matter of the core of Christianity. And I said to Peter before them all, and basically doctrine of justification by faith is Paul speaking to Peter. And I find that fascinating, right? So he's talking. I said to Peter before them all, if you, Peter, though you are a Jew, live like a Gentile, not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like the Jews? You are a hypocrite. You can't do it, and you tell other people to do it, right? That's what basically Peter was saying. And we, Peter and Peter speaking, Paul speaking to Peter, we ourselves are Jews by birth, not Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you remember? We also were have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith. Okay? In Christ and not by works of the law. And then he kind of concludes it by saying this, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Pretty amazing. Okay, so that's what happened, and I just want to be brief describing this. The conduct of Peter was kind of like coward. Basically, it wasn't his theology, it wasn't his faith. He believed, it is already settled. They already settled at Jerusalem. Salvation is by faith and grace and Christ alone. They already established that. That's what Peter believed. Overcoming the law of Moses and tradition, which was an unthinkable thing to do. All his life, that was his life. But he's been completely set free from that. Now he's enjoying fellowship with Gentile friends. Okay? With other ethnicities. People who are not Jew. People he used to think them as a dirty people. Now he's having fellowship and eating with them. Okay? So Peter has been set free from the bondage and obligation of the law, and he was freely having table fellowship of eating with the Gentiles. One day, this group of people came from Jerusalem church and Judaizers, right, basically. And I don't know exactly what it is. I thought about this. All of a sudden, Peter became so fearful of people. Fearful of their eyes, fearful of their opinions. So he shrunk back. And he acted hypocritically. What does that word mean? Here's what it means. Jesus said to the religious leaders, you hypocrites. It's not a good word, right? In ancient world, the actors used to wear a mask. For a sad scene, you put on a sad mask. For a happy scene, you put on a happy mask. It was the mask. Not really what's happening in your heart. That's the word hypocrite means. So when you act hypocritically according to the gospel, this is what you believe, but you act differently. Do you understand that? Hypocrites. And basically, Paul is writing that he was acting hypocritically. You worship God on Sundays, and tomorrow you go to work, and you have no relationship with Christ. You act as if. You have no knowledge of him, no relationship of him. You act hypocritically. Okay? That was what's happening. That was what was happening. But Peter wasn't. It was not because of his faith or his conviction. Do you remember in Acts chapter 10, which is a very important time in Christian history? Up to chapter 9, it was all Jews, but God's heart was the gospel to go forth to all nations. So there is a mark where the gospel go forth from the Gentiles, only Israelites, now to the to the rest of the world. And that's in Acts chapter 10. And you know the story. Peter was praying in Joppa. Pretty amazing how God orchestrates your salvation. He was praying in Philadelphia. And then there was a Roman centurion soldier, officer, with 100 soldiers under him. And he was kind of praying in New York. And the Lord just coordinated, just sort of like Paul and Ananias. It's pretty amazing. Right? So he was praying. Peter was praying. He's an apostle. He was a Jew. And then all of a sudden he saw a vision. From the sky, this great sheet was coming down with four corners. If you could just picture with me. And inside the sheet, there are birds and animals and reptiles that Jews cannot eat in the Old Testament. Can you imagine a crocodile, toad and birds and animals? And so Peter said, oh, what is this? And he was just kind of standing there. And the Lord spoke to Peter. Peter, get up and kill and eat it. Peter, that was an unthinkable thing to do because he was a Jew, right? He can't do that. For 2,000 years, they haven't been doing it. Can you imagine changing something that you've been doing for 2,000 years? Which I will kind of explain when we talk about infant baptism, actually. Something you've been doing for 2,000 years, right? And then God spoke to him, and he probably thought, that's not God. That's someone else. So Peter said, I can't do that, Lord. That's not correct. All my life, I follow the law. I cannot eat that. And then Lord speak this word. Don't call what I made it clean unclean. I made it clean. Now, Peter, get up and kill and eat it. And this vision repeated three times. So he wakes up from his prayer time. And then there was a people waiting who was sent from New York. Cornelius's servants came, inviting him to go to this Gentile house in another city. That was an unthinkable thing to do, but he did. He realized this is the Lord's message to me that I should follow him. So he goes to Cornelius' house and he preaches the gospel. Gospel of what? Gospel of Jesus' resurrection. And basically says in that sermon in Acts chapter 10, Gentiles and Jews, there's no distinction. There's only one way to save. That's faith in Jesus Christ. As he was preaching that, what happened? God affirmed that by filling these Gentiles with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so realizing, wow, this is what happens. And then if you look at Acts chapter 10 carefully, then they baptize Cornelius and his house members. Interesting, right? So that's the story. So Peter's issue was not theological or his belief, but it was his conduct. He shrunk. He was acting hypocritically. He was acting like a coward, basically, as you do that sometimes, as I do that at times. We're afraid of people's opinion. I don't know. That's what happened. Okay? So that's what happened. And remember, like a few verses earlier, Paul experienced the same thing with same people in Jerusalem. But it says in chapter 2, verse 5, says, Paul said, I did not yield in submission even for a moment to these people Why? Because so that the truth of the gospel may be preserved. So, you know, it wasn't a small matter Elder Yu was rebuking me. It was the central matter of the church. That's why it had to be dealt in public. If it was a small thing, I don't think that would be a right thing to do. But Paul opposed Peter, who was the apostle of the Jerusalem church, the apostle of whole Christianity. And he opposed him and he rebuked him. He rebuked him. Okay? Because the thing was not a trivial matter, but it was Paul's deep concern for the truth of the gospel. There are things we could back off and forgive, and we should. And we should cover your sin and whatnot, and we should do that as Christians. But there is something that we cannot back off. That's the truth of the gospel. Truth of the gospel, I cannot back off. It's not whatever is being preached from the pulpit. If you continue to hear half gospel and you are in darkness of the truth of the gospel, you are in the most miserable darkness right now. That's what Martin Luther was saying. Okay? Martin Luther, so what was that truth of the gospel? Let me quote him, okay? He has here no trivial matter in hand, but the chiefest article of all Christian doctrines. For what is Peter? What is Paul? What is an angel from heaven? What are all these creatures to the article of justification? Which, if you know, then you are in the clear light. But if you do not know, if you are ignorant thereof, then you are in the most miserable darkness. Do you know this truth? I really want to ask you. I'm not asking you how long you've been going to church. I'm not asking which church have you been going to. I'm not even asking like what your everyday walk with the Lord is like. I'm not asking that, but do you know this truth of the gospel, the article of justification by faith? It's simple. You get justified. God declares you righteous by faith. Very simple. The title seems very sophisticated and hard, but the content, it isn't. Not what you have done, not what you have given, not what kind of good work you have done, nothing. Not, I led Bible study, I was a Sunday school, no, nothing. Nothing has nothing to do with you, but do you know God already declares you righteous based on one thing, which is faith in the person of Jesus Christ, that he has already died and paid for my sin, resurrected, therefore God declared me righteous. Do you know? Okay. What was at stake? Twice in this chapter, Paul calls it the truth of the gospel. Gospel is the truth. Gospel is the true reality, people. Your reality that you are so concerned with, job, money, house, war, and things like that, will soon be no longer reality. Guarantee. Guarantee, people. But this reality that Scripture speaks about will be reality for the rest of eternity. Okay? What was at stake? The truth of the gospel. And he explains what that is. He's reasoning with Peter. Paul is speaking to Peter in front of you. So if you could just look at it like that. So here's Paul speaking, okay? I said to Peter, do you see that? I said to Peter, before them all, if you, Peter, though you are a Jew, live like a Gentile, which means you've been set free. You've been justified, so you're no longer bound by the slavery of sin, slavery of law. You've been set free. You could have fellowship. You could be free from that. Now you live like that. How can you force the Gentiles To be like Jews, in other words, you need to be circumcised. You need to follow all the laws. That is so bad and hypocritical. That's what Paul is saying to Peter. Okay? We, Peter and Paul is speaking to Peter, we ourselves are Jews, right, by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know, and then verse 16, that verse, the theme verse of the Galatians, Romans, the entire Christianity. Okay? He's speaking to Peter. A person is not justified. You don't become righteous before God by works. It's not what you do of the law, but faith in Jesus Christ. Do you notice he's going to say justified three times in one verse? Okay, I hope you see the intensity and how he's emphasizing that. And then he said in another way, so Peter, we, you and I, also have believed in Christ Jesus. We were Jews, but we believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by God, by faith. And we are in Christ and not by works of the law. You know that. You know that's true. That's why you're having fellowship. So, and then he kind of concludes the matter, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Okay? I'm going to explain this very important gospel. If you could just give your fresh ears, even if you know what it means. I've been teaching this for weeks now, on Fridays and Saturdays, but I feel we need to share this every single day. Okay? Justification, as I told you, is a legal term, judicial, forensic term. At the court of law, it means proclaimed not guilty. You are acquitted. By whom? The righteous God, God of justice. Not justice of the Supreme Court of the United States of America, but God of justice declaring you, you're righteous. You're acquitted. You're not guilty. You're no longer condemned. Okay, that's what it means. So Paul mentions it three times here, justified. And the first is the general term. Okay, a man is not justified by works. And then second time, I put it there. So we also have this personal experience, personal terms. And then the final conclusion in a universal term. No one will be justified by works of the law. So let me explain. The first, the truth of the gospel, the doctrine of justification. In general term, a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Simple. Let me put it this way. You will never be able to be justified on your own strength. It's impossible. You will never be able to stand before God and God calls you righteous through what you do. Basically, that's what it means. You know the story of 10,000 talents? Some of you know, some of you may not know. When Christ returns, there's going to be a judgment. That's the parable. And there was a man who owed 10,000 talents. Money, accounting term, okay? 10,000 talents is equivalent to what you need to work for next 200,000 years. That's exactly what it is. 200,000 years. You will never be able to pay back. But in that parable, the king just pardons him. King just pardons him. Do you understand that? What is that? You know, people get so excited, oh, no more interest until July. Thank you, Mr. Biden. We get so excited about that. Just for interest for your student loan. But 10,000 talents, which means something you need to work for 200,000 years, and he pardons it completely. What do you call that? Grace. That's exactly what salvation is. And people say, when I try to share the gospel, and this is what a lot of people say, oh, you know, yeah, I think about God these days. So when I see hungry people, I try to not give money because they're going to use for drugs or something, but I want to give them food, and this is what I've done, and I usually do a lot of fishing in the evangelism and fishing. I just changed the term, right? So when I talk to the guys in the fishing boat, and they say, oh, yeah, yeah, I catch all my fish, and I give to the widows, they always talk about these good deeds they do. I give all my fish away. I gave this to this people. What is that? I always explain to them, you owe him 10,000 talents, and you're trying to pay a penny a day. Do you get it? You will never be able to settle the account with what you owe to the court of law. That's what it means. Okay? When it says works of the law, I know you would have a bad kind of like feeling toward the word law. Law is not a bad thing. Law is a good thing. Could you think of 10 commandments? Honor your mother and father. Is that a bad thing? No. Do not kill. Is that a bad thing? No, it's not. Do not commit adultery. Is that a bad thing? Do not steal anything. Is that a bad thing? Do not give false testimony for your neighbors. Is that a bad thing? No, it's a good thing. You know why? Because the law reflects God, the character of God, attribute of God. God gave to his people. Law is not the problem. You know what the problem is? You know why we say law is bad? Because you can't keep it. That's the problem. I'm just explaining Romans gospel right now. Which one? Well, you know, I honor my parents most of the time. But do not commit adultery. I'm a little guilty. Do not steal. You are very greedy. You know what the fact of the matter is? The problem with a human being is that it's not the law that you cannot keep all of it. Paul says you cannot keep any of it. Any one of it. In fact, it gets even worse. Not only you cannot keep any of it, you do not want to keep it. Romans gospel people. Let me explain it this way. You know why? There's a sign that says, please do not step on the grass. Until you see that sign, you have no desire to step on the grass. But as soon as you see the sign, I want to step on the grass. That's you. That's me. You know why? Because human sinful nature is bent. When God says straight, you're bent. Inclination, sinful nature. You just want to rebel against God. No one is different. No one is different. Until Christ set you free. You're a slave to that bent nature of sin. I said, come and worship. Unless Spirit helps you, you're regenerated, you don't want to. Do you understand? Law is not the problem. You are the problem. But God demands perfection to the law. God demands 10,000 talents. That's you. No one is exempt. Mr. Putin, Mr. Biden, you, me, soldiers in the tank, in Russian tank, people who are in the apartment, fearing without water, heat, electricity, all going to be responsible. You will be demanded. No one will be justified by works. That's you. But praise be to God. There's a way to be justified, to be saved. What is that? By the gospel of Jesus Christ. God came under the law, came as a human being, and he obeyed the law perfectly for 33 years, Bible says. Okay? Are you following? He obeyed the law perfectly. You cannot keep any of it, but he kept it perfectly. Do you see the difference? And he goes to the judgment seat for you. For you. That's what the gospel is. And what happens there? This is what happens. You owe 10,000 talents. You owe $500,000 to a bank. And all that you owe, you wire to Jesus. At a moment. Wire. Okay? So all your debt is paid. And that's not where we stop. He's going to give you another 10,000 talents, which he has, and he's going to wire to you. Do you follow? That's what happens at the cross. If you believe. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. Who would do that? Why would he do that? Why would he go that far to do that? Who am I? I mean, who in the world would do a ridiculous thing like that? Why in the world would he do that? It doesn't make any sense at all. Why is he doing that? Do you know why? That's grace. That is what grace is. That's what has happened already if you have put your faith in him and him alone. You're realizing that just as it says, you will never be able to pay 10,000 talents with your pennies. Pennies that you cannot save. Most people are in debt. Right? You will never be able to pay what you owe to God. Now we're talking accounting term, right? Because when Bible says Abraham believed God and God called it, the faith, counted righteousness. That word is logizomai, it's an accounting word. It was wired to you. And your 10,000 talent that you owe to God has been wired to Christ. So that murder that you have committed, which requires 20, 30, 50, your life term, or perhaps even capital punishment, he took upon himself. He's taking care of people. How much of it? All of it. Once and for all. All of it. Which means from your baby, you bite on something you shouldn't as a baby, all the way to the point when you breathe your last breath, all of your sin has been wired to him. That's been taken care of. That is the good news. That is the gospel. That's the gospel we believe in Christianity. It's nothing to do with your work. Nothing to do with your giving fish to people. Like, I gave some money to these people. I bought lunch to these people. But the fact of the matter is that you are a sinner, a impossible sinner, as I am. Okay? So, a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And then Paul explains his second time, which is in a personal way. Okay? We, Peter, listen, Peter, you and I, we also believed in Christ in order that in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. In other words, this doctrine of justification and salvation is your personal experience. Are you justified? Do you notice it's a present perfect term? It's already done. They already believed. They're already justified. It's not like you're saved when you die. You're already declared righteous. Is that you? Is that your experience? You know, Pastor June shared before the message. You may have walked into this door owing 10,000 talents to the Lord. But at this moment, that can be pardoned. is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I didn't do anything. Precisely, people. Precisely. You didn't do anything. Don't try to do anything. Because if you try to do anything, what you do is ruining grace. You're being severed from grace. Severed from Christ. So you need to come to the end of yourself if you say you're going to believe. Do you follow? You do everything you want to do. You live the life you want to live. You live sin and you just do whatever you want to do. But I said, I believe. No, you don't. No, you don't believe. No, you don't, people. You need to come to the end of yourself. I give up. I surrender, people. Lord, I surrender. I can't do it. I will never be able to do it. So I surrender. And you drop all your weapons. All your weapons as an enemy to God. And you surrender to Him. And you receive it like a little child. Remember Jesus said, unless you turn and become like a child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know what that means? In that ancient society, a child does not become real heir until he's grown up, right? And the child cannot do anything, earn anything. They cannot go out and work. I mean, Judah cannot go out and get a job and support the family. There's not much he can do. So what does child do then? Child receives it from the parents. And that's how salvation is. He gives to you by grace and freely. Would you be willing to drop all your weapons and receive it? You realize your sinful nature said, no, I don't want God. Don't step on the grass. As soon as you see the sign, you want to do something otherwise because your heart is bent. In other words, you hate God. You want to have nothing to do with God. You are God. That's human beings. But now you need to humble yourself before God. That's why it is offensive to you. That's why the message of the cross is an offense to you. Are you listening, people? I'm sharing the gospel. You could be going through the motion every single Sunday for the last 50 years, but until you come to that end of yourself and truly put your faith in Him and Him alone, you are standing condemned. You are standing condemned. Okay. And then third, he just kind of explains it universally. This is it, people. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. You're not going to be. You will not be justified. You will not be saved in your own terms. Period. And Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. He says it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Do you realize Paul was an expert of the Old Testament? He knew the Old Testament. And quoting from Psalms, he concluded this way. There is no one righteous, not even one. It was stated in the Old Testament, people. Salvation was always by grace through faith. It was never works. It was never doing all these Ten Commandments. You will never be able to do it. Definitely not all of it, but Paul is explaining that not even one of it. In fact, you don't even want to do it. You can't do it because your heart is bent. That's your inclination. Let me conclude. Today's message. What separates, if you could just listen to this conclusion, all the religion and gospel is all the religion you try to earn salvation through your work. But we just declare that that's impossible. That is why that is not of God. None of them is of God. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christianity gospel, Christian gospel is, it has nothing to do with you. It's all God. He died for you. He was resurrected. It is already done, people. That's the gospel. Do you see the difference? I hope you do. Martin Luther says, if you try to earn salvation, all this religion, if you try to merit salvation by your own works, it's like this, trying to placate, appease God's wrath with your sin. I was chuckling when I was reading this. You're like trying to please God, appease God, placate God with your sin. What he means is this. Even the best intention of your good work is tainted by your sinfulness. You're selfish. I'm selfish. When I give, I want to be noticed. It's for you. Oh, no. I feel bad for those people. But sin nature, you want to be exalted. And God is not blind. You cannot mock God. And he states it very, very clearly. There is none righteous, not even one. Mother Teresa is not an angel. She's a sinner saved by grace. Billy Graham is. And you are, and I am. Only way that we could be justified before God is by grace. And God giving you faith. Can I just explain one thing? For you to have faith, and if he needs to give to you, you know it's not your trying, right? God is giving it to you, meaning it originates from God. In fact, the picture that Scripture speaks is, you are dead in sin. You're like Lazarus. Yeah, I find it amazing. In John chapter 11, you know, Jesus let Lazarus die. I'm not going to explain. Let him die, right? 4 days later, he shows up to the tomb, and he already said, I am the resurrection, and he goes, something really weird. He speaks to dead person, command to a dead person. That's not the only time he does something weird, right? The storm, and he speaks to the storm. Be still and be, you know? He speaks like that. And he speaks to Lazarus, a dead person. Lazarus! Come forth. And lo and behold, Lazarus, dead person, comes to life. And that's the only way you and I will come alive. You need to come to the end of yourself, people. No one will be justified through your own works. We are justified by grace alone, faith alone, and in Christ alone. Let's pray.